Right, Pasuk. The Pasuk that we are up to today is the Pasuk that follows Shema B'ni Musar Avicha V'Al Titosh Torah Simecha, which we spent some time on. And the Pasuk says, Ki Livyas Chein Heim L'Roshecha V'Anokim L'Gag R'Roshecha. The imagery here is one of jewelry, of tachshitim, that the Divrei Torah and the Divrei Musar that we spoke about a moment ago in the previous Pasuk, these are a livyas chain for your head, and anokim is a necklace for your neck. In other words, a crown for your head and a necklace for your neck. So the imagery here, by the way, the Mefarshim, the Eben Ezra, the Rabbeinu Bachaye, on the Pasuk Ha'anek Ta'anek Loi, the mitzvah of Ha'anokah for an Eved, when you send them away, this mitzvah, what's Ha'anek? Hiloshayin Va'anokim L'gagirei Secha. You know, you give him bounty, you give him his jewelry, as it were. So the idea of the Pasuk is obvious, but the details, let's take a look how the Gra explains the Pratim. Why does it say Livyas Chein L'Roshecha and Anokim L'Gag R'Roshecha? As always, it's also very beautiful, as it is profound. So the Bir Agra, you right have here, right under the Pasuk on page 1. Bir Agra Mishlei Aleph Pasuk Tes, Ki Livyas Chein Goymer Ha'inyon, Ki B'Yimeihem Hayu Oisim L'Nesheihem Tachshitim L'Fi Ma'aseihem. It would be a very dangerous thing if we attempted to do that today. Could you imagine I give my wife a necklace and I say, because she talks so nicely to me, or, you know, she gives big drushes, or if I gave her a brooch and I said, you have a very good heart, you know. So she says, why did you give me a necklace last time and not a brooch? I didn't have a good heart then. So anyhow, look at the Bir Agra, but it's an amazing thing that everything that he says is Nishtzam Geret, that is a Raya, there's a Makar. In the time of Chazal, they would reward the women for their Mesiris Nefesh. That's really what it is. And they would give him, so we have right now the Ma'is of Rabbi Akiva. So he says, Hayu Oisim L'Nesheim Tachshitim L'Fi Ma'aseim K'mo Shematzinu Sha'amra Dvisu D'Rabban Gamliel L'Rabban Gamliel Sheyaselo Katlo Shel Zohav. The reference here, I quote also, just so that you should have it, b'miluo. And let's take a look. Talmud Yerushalmi, Masecha Shabbos, Perek Vav, right underneath the Gra. Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva, she'asa le'ishto ir shel zahav. He made for her a city of gold. Now, making for a city of gold means it's a piece of jewelry called an ir shel zahav. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos in the Bavli speaks about going out with the Ir Shel Zahav, or with the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. What it meant was that they made a piece of jewelry that had images of the city of Yerushalayim, and it was identified as such. So it was called a city of gold. The song that they have, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, is coming exactly from this Chazal. So he made for her a city of gold, and he gave her this beautiful piece of jewelry. The Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, by the way, mentions that even though they started out in abject poverty, and so it was for many years, eventually Rabbi Akiva became a very wealthy man. And the Gemara describes from where did they have their wealth. But in any case, eventually he made for her a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. So the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi continues, Chamse Itse D'Rabban Gamliel, the Kanyas Bo, Itas, V'Amis Kaimi Ba'ala. Unfortunately, the nature of people, somebody else saw this, happened to be the wife of Rabbi Gamliel, and she saw that the wife of Rabbi Akiva was walking around with this Ir Shel Zahav. The Vilna Gaon said to his women folk that don't go to shul, don't even go to shul on Shabbos and Yontif, because all they do is get in the kani, the clothing and this and that, and it's better to stay home. Anyhow, but the Yerushalmi says that she was Mekaneh, and she mentioned to her husband, why don't you also get me something like that? So what did he say to her? So it says, Amar lo hachein Havis Avdis Lee, Kamod, the Havis Avdalay, the Havis Mizavna Makliosa, the Leish of Yavalay, for who lo be a Raisa. He said, if you did for me what she did for her husband, for Rabbi Akiva, I would also get you something like that. So what did she do for him? She sold her, the Kliya Sarah, in order that he, you know, she sold her hair, in order that he should be able to continue learning Torah. You know, of course, the very famous story that's mentioned in the Gemara Nedarim, Meseches Ksubis and Perigapho, Pidav Samach Beis, and the Gemara Nedarim, I quote a little bit of over here, it's Daf Nun Amad Aleph. The Gemara tells us that she was inspired somehow to take this peasant called Akiva, this farmhand, and when Kalba Savua discovered this, he basically cut her off completely, and Memela, she was in desperate poverty, and they lived in poverty, a poverty which is described in Maseches Nedarim right over here. The Gemara says, Maseches Nedarim, Rabbi Akiva iskachus lebrate the Kalba Savua. Shama Kalba Savua, Adra Hanoa Mikol Nirsei. When Kalba Savua found out that she decided to marry, she married, by the way, she eloped. She married without permission, which is an incredible thing. It's incredible because she was the daughter of Kalba Savua, even more so. But that she found in Rabbi Akiva what he would become is absolutely uncanny. This is a separate Bina Yisera which we can't even fathom. But she knew who Rabbi Akiva would become, and she insisted this is her destiny. And she went against her family, and she was written off. He cut her off completely. Adra hanoa mikol nichsei, from all of his nechosim. Ozlov is nasvale besitva. They got married in the Sisav in the fall. Haviganu beitivna, and they lived in a loft in the barn amongst the hay, in the haystack. That's where they lived. Havakomaknit leitivna min mazye, and his hair became full of the strands of hay, you know, the sticks, little pieces of hay. And she would clean him up. She would make him look normal. She would delicately pick off those little pieces of hay from his hair. And Omar lo, so he saw that she was trying to make him more handsome, so to speak, that he should be more presentable. He said to her, Ihavoili, if I would have it only, if I would have the ability to do it, if I had the means, Ramina lek Yerushalayim didava, I would put a Yerushalayim shalzav on you. In other words, again, I would crown you with this crown that had the imagery of Yerushalayim. Ose Eliyahu idamelon kanosha. Eliyahu Anovi came to them. This is a very remarkable psychological point that the Gemara makes. That anybody who's in a matzav, there's always somebody that's in a worse matzav. And when you hear that that person's in a worse matzav, even though you should feel worse, because not only am I in a bad matzav, but somebody else is even worse matzav. So should I feel better or should I feel worse? Nature is such that there's some sort of a consolation, like Tzoras Rabim Chatzi Nechoma. There's some consolation in the knowledge that no matter how bad it is, there's even somebody that's in a worse matzav. It's a certain consolation. So Eliyahu HaNavi took advantage of this psychological yisod, and he appeared as a human being, as a desperately poor and miserable person, who knocked on the door and asked for a little bit of hay because he's freezing cold. So they came and comforted themselves with the thought that at the very least they have a place to sleep. He knocked on the door, he called at the door. Amalu havli purta de tivna, the yaldis itzi, because my wife gave birth, but lesling me dam laguna, I have nothing to protect her with. So not only did he not have, but he had a wife. I always point out that the Rambam says in Perek, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he says that everybody's mechuyev to be kaveya eaten by yoimu balaiwa. So he has like a list, and he says, Bein Oni, Bein Osher, Bein Sholim Begufoi, Bein Baal Yisurim, and at the end he says, Afilu Oni HaMechazer Al Apsochim, Afilu Baal Yisho Vonim. So some say that the pshat is that this Oni, Mechazer Al Apsochim, is not only a single, but he's a Baal Yisho Vonim, and he needs to attend to them as well, and he doesn't have anything. So he says, V'lesli Midam Laguna, I have nothing to protect her, she just gave birth. Amalo Rabbi Akiva Le'intisei, Chazi Gavrod Afilu Tivna Lesle. So Rabbi Akiva Taka said to her, you see, there's even a person that doesn't have a bit of straw. So it's not so bad after all. And of course, Amrale, she said to him, Zil Havi Beirav, go to the yeshiva, and as they say, like I have here four dots, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. It became Rabbi Akiva. It's interesting, that Gemara tells us that there was this person who taunted her, Keseder, that she's a living almona, and that, you know, it's just an amazing thing. Anyhow, he said eventually, Shalisha Lachem Shalahi, and he became wealthy, and he made for her the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, and this is what the Vilna Gaon says. The Vilna Gaon says that by the way, Derech Agav, I just want to point out to you, it's mentioned in this Marsha. The Marsha asks at the end of this piece, of the Marsha that I quote here in the Maseches Nedarim, he asks a very important question. The Gemara says that Gozu al HaTorah Chasonim from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva already lived during the Churban. And this Maisa is taking place, is the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and it's a very bad matzav, and they made a Gzera on HaTorah Chasonim, and apparently he learns that the Gzera was already in effect. So the question is, and what is HaTorah Chasonim? So the Gemara says it's the Yerushal Zot, this crown of Yerushalayim. So the Marsha answers a very interesting teretz. He says that the crown of Yerushalayim was permitted as piece of jewelry for a woman. It was just that when they had the chasna, because the pasuk says in Loyal es Yerushalayim al rosh simchosi, so when they made the simcha of chasna, they were geyser not to wear the crown of Yerushalayim. In other words, apparently that's something that they wore, whether rich or poor, or deserving or not, was a kala. A kala you were doing with all kinds of tachshitim. So the tachshitim of the kala, that they would have worn before the Churban, this was a gzera that when she's a kala under the chuppah, she does not wear such a tachshit. But later on, stam as a piece of jewelry, she was permitted. That's the teretz of the Marsha. In any case, getting now back to the Vilna Gaon. So the Gaon says that there used to be a time when they gave the tachshitim according to the maisim that the women did, the maisim, the mitzvahs of maisim toivim that they did. So he said like this, V'hayu oisin beiz minei tachshitim l'roish u'letzavar. Oh, here. V'hayu oisin beiz minei tachshitim l'roish u'letzavar. One tachshit was for the head, and one was for the neck, as I told you. One is like a crown, and the other one was a necklace. Rashi points out, by the way, it's not in the notes here, but Rashi points out on the pasuk Anokim legargar osecha. Why is gargar osecha in the plural? He says because the neck is made up of a number of these bones. What are they called? There's a special vertebrae type of thing, and because there are many, so memele it's called gargar osecha in the plural. But it's for your neck, the gargaris, right? The food pipe and the windpipe, right? The shchita. So you have the kana and the voishet. The voishet is the gargaris. So he says here that they used to make tachshitim for the roish and tachshitim for the tzar. V'hainu lebalas seichel ulebalas maisim toivim. Interessant. The balas seichel used to get a crown, and the balas maisim toivim. Imagine a wife, husband takes it at a jewelry store. And she says, oh, I like that very much. He says, oh, no, that's a crown. That's for a person as seichel. For you, I'll get you a necklace, because you're doing maisim toivim. You have to understand why this minig fell away. Because like it says at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, Godel Shalom Bayis. So anyhow, the Gaon says, now he says a very interesting also. Liv Yaschein is in the singular. Anokim. Anok is a necklace. What's Anokim? Plural. So why is Liv Yas in the singular and Anokim in the plural? And you'd say because Gargar Osecha is in the plural. He says, no, that's not the reason. The reason is because mitzvahs are many, and Torah is one. And this goes back to Kitinder Mitzvah, the Torah, remember? Mitzvahs are many, and they are specific. In other words, you do mitzvahs at certain times, in certain places, under certain circumstances. Torah is universal, and Torah is one. Ner Mitzvah, the Torah, Or is universal. So this is what he says. He says, Derech lasais takshit harosh mechaticha achas dugmas haseichel shu ekot. That's why it's one, it's called Liv Yaschem. So therefore it's in the plural. So the Goyin says that the imagery is very appropriate because they used to make takshitim for connected to the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the women did, and as a marshal, it's a reflection in general that Torah is called Liv Yaschein, and mitzvahs are called Anokim Legagaroisel. The Zelki Liv Yaschein Hi Torah VaAnokim Loshen Rabim Heim HaMitzvahs Legagaroisel Hu Haguf. It means, you know, to the, not the seichel, but rather to the body. So that's because mitzvahs are compared to the guf, and Torah is compared to the seichel or to the or, and so on. So now, and the Gemara, that you know a lot of this Gemara, and this Gemara, by the way, Erev and Daf Nun Dalet, is a whole encyclopedia of Gadlus HaTorah, of Chashivus HaTorah. Erev and Daf Nun Dalet. So in this Gemara, Erev and Daf Nun Dalet, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Hamahalich baderech ve'ein imoy levoyo. He's going on the road and he does not have anyone to accompany him. He's not part of a caravan, he's not part of... What should he do? You're not allowed to go out alone. It's dangerous. And it's dangerous for Tarte. Here it means the Torah will protect him, mamish. But it's also Torah protects a person because if he's alone and he doesn't have a companion and he's in strange and foreign places... I remember once I was speaking in a certain shul where I gave a shiur on a regular basis. And I was talking about how it's very, very important to be bitznius and this and that. I was really lacing it into them. And one of them comes over to me afterwards, and he gave me a musa shmus, which I would almost say it was life-changing. He says to me, "Who are you to talk?" That means it. Not every day that somebody comes over to me and says that. I'm not talking about my wife. I mean, she's entitled and Baruch Hashem. You know, they set you straight. If they don't set you straight, we have gehak tzaris. That's the truth. Problem is we don't listen, or we don't listen often enough. Especially we don't listen in advance of what we do. And we make a lot of boo-boos, and then they say, "I told you so." We're angry that they say, "I told you so." You know. But that's how it is. It says in the Pasuk. The Yeshua comes when we are Messiahites with others. And I always say this word. The Pasuk says, Eseloi Ezer Kenegdoi. We're digressing a little bit, but it's kedai to say this. Eseloi Ezer Kenegdoi. What is Ezer, a helpmate? What's Kenegdoi? Opposite you. So the Gemara has, the Chazal tell us, Zocha is Ezer, Loi Zocha is Kenegdoi. But the truth is, what the Ribbono Shel Olam created was an unbelievable combination of two opposite koichos. You see, people who are not objective, if I have an idea, and I'm totally subjective about that idea, I can't climb out of myself no matter how hard I try. You have to be who knows who to be able to transcend yourself and go beyond your personal desires and needs and concerns to objectify the parsha. And that's true in business as much as it is in Yiddishkeit. People have ideas and they get so excited about the ideas, and the energy and the Yetzirah of the idea prompts you and pushes you in every possible way, and it's impossible to escape it. So we become totally blind to the dangers and the pitfalls, and very few people, emotional, when they're making a plan, consider the worst possible scenario as a reality. That's not going to happen. The best possible scenario they want. But the worst possible scenario, that's never going to happen. But if you have an objective perspective, then you say, wait a minute, you considered the best possible scenario, and according to all of that, it's going to work out wonderful. But isn't it possible that it'll be this and this and this? Now, on the other hand, objective means somebody else. Somebody else not yoyered into you. He's not interested in your kishkes, he's not interested in your hatzlocha. He's only interested... on a minimal level, but he's not that connected to you to be totally interested. And sometimes he has his own self-interest, and sometimes he has a bias. So you need the objectivity, but you need the person that's connected to you in a total way. Where do you have such a person? The answer is the wife. That's Eza Kenegda. She is the subjective objective. She's the person, she's still not you, so she has a different perspective. But she cares enough, Ishtoi Kegufoi, Baal Ki Ishtoi, that it's one. So you have Ala Mailas, that's the Mail of Eza Kenegda. Anyhow, Bekitzer, in Tay, I was telling you about this Maisa with the fellow. He says, who are you to criticize? And he says, I was in Japan, completely by myself on a business trip, not long after I was married. And all my friends, they went to, and he started describing places that I cannot describe in a shir. And he says, and I stayed in that hotel room by myself, miserable and lonely. But never would I violate that promise and that commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to my wife. And you are criticizing me. And I'll tell you the truth, at Mitzaris and the Kishkes, he was 100% right. Who had that kind of a nisayon? Who dreams of such a nisayon? So when it says in the Gemara in Erevin that he's going out below Levoya, it doesn't just mean that he's physically endangered and the segula of Torah, but rather the etzem connection to Torah when he doesn't have anyone else to hold him, to watch him, to control him, is the biggest control possible. So he says, "I'm alek badef veinim Levoya." Yasib b'Torah shenemar ki liv yascheinim. That's l'roishecha. So what is the lotion that the Gemara uses? The Gemara uses the melitza of liv yascheinim, which really means a crown. Instead, they use it literally, levoya, liv yascheinim. It's your accompaniment when you don't have anyone to accompany. Then the Gemara continues, very famous Gemara. Chosh b'roishoi yasib b'Torah shenemar ki liv yascheinim l'roishecha. If a person has what it sounds like is a headache, then he should learn Torah. And Torah will help him out of his headache. Into a sant. It's a refuah. It's a Tylenol. Chosh begrainai. What happens if he has trouble in his throat? Yasik b'Torah. Shenemar v'anokim l'gargarei secha. Chosh b'meyav. Yasik b'Torah. Shenemar. Another pasuk. Rifus hila sharecha. The next part of that pasuk. It's good for all that ails you. As I state in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'Gabchia b'yorei shaloi k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basav adam. According to the Rashi, what does it mean, laze yof, laze kosh? It doesn't mean for one person it's good, for another person it's not good. Because it says l'chaveir, he's giving it only to one person. He says for one machla it's good, but it has a negative effect, a side effect that's bad for him, l'gabi the other machla. In other words, the two machlas, the trufa seiser itself. What's good for one machla creates a bigger problem for the other machla that he has. So Rashi says, for example, you can have something that's good for the heart but damages the eyes and vice versa. So he says, the Torah is good for everything and it doesn't have any side effects. By the way, I once had a member of my family had to undergo a surgery because they broke their hip, and that person had a very serious heart condition, and they were taking very large amounts of blood thinner. And of course, you can't do the surgery with the blood thinners. Usually they stop a week or even several weeks before, but that was very dangerous for her. And the doctor's shikul was much more not how to do the operation, which was relatively routine, but rather how to deal with the heart condition in face of the operation on the hip and the need to stop the heparin or whatever it was. So I once, in one of those moments, I said to the Bnei Bayis Kitakuk, we say every day in Asher Yotza, Roifei Kol Bosar Umafli Lasas. What's Mafli Lasas? Like, Pele is something that's a wonder. It's an amazement. So I said, the Ribbono Shlom can give a refuah, like this Gemara says. And the refuah is good in a manner that does not cause any damage legabe anything else. He can take the refuah, which is good for the hip, and he can make it still good for the heart. He can take the refuah for the heart, and it could still be good for the hip. Thus can know the Eivishter Aleinton. This image is the image that the Gemara here is saying. That Yofel Azeh, but it's not Yofel Azeh. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives us a Torah that's good for everything. Gita Kuk in the Marsha. The Marsha, I quote a long piece from the Maral Miprat. We'll get back to it, we neder. But the Marsha is on page 4. Right? So it says here, Rifus Tehilu Sharecha. So I'm just giving you a little hakdama to what we're going to talk about Bli Neder on Wednesday, B'yom Revi B'Shabbos, where I'm going to speak about the inyan of Asur L'Hisrapos B'Divrei Torah, the whole inyan of Kameyas and Psukim and so on and so forth. If Eloi Shayach, and is there an Isur to do something like that on Shabbos because of Refuah? Rifus Tehi V'Eloi Shayach B'Zeh. So the Marshal Shtel Zaveka Yisait, he says, this inyan of Asul Lisrapas B'Divrei Torah means that if you use psukim as gulois, as a specific pill that you're taking ke'ilu for the refuah. For example, if a person has a heart condition and he has psukim that speak about the bounty of the heart or the beauty of the heart, so that he's not supposed to recite those psukim, we'll discuss the protim. I'm not going into whether you're allowed to or not, halacha lemaisa, because that Bli Neder will leave for next time. But he says that that's what the Gemara is referring to in Masechah Shavuos when they say, Asur Lisrapos B'Divrei Torah. It means using the Divrei Torah as a segula directly for to be merapi the machla. Like, for example, somebody has a cut and he would quote a pasuk about a cut or about blood or about anything which is a positive pasuk, and that would be a zgula because when he recites this pasuk 60 times, then he gets a refuah. That he's not allowed to do. But learning in general, the enterprise of learning, the activity of learning, is lemaisa a refuah. So if a person's chosh v'roshay, what should he do? He should engage in learning Torah. You know, there's an old joke that why is it so? Because when he'll learn, he'll discover he doesn't have a head. If he doesn't have a head, how could he have a headache? But what does the Maharsha say? The Maharsha vaita. Very interesting. The Maharsha is medayik on the word chosh. Now, mechush and chosh usually means that there's something wrong with him. But here, he uses it from the lashon of chashash. What does choshesh mean? He suspects. He suspects means you don't know it for a fact. You just suspect. Here, he says, it means you're not already immersed in the machla, rachmanu litzlan. The person is not immersed in the machla. He doesn't already feel it. He's anticipating it. He feels it coming on, as they say. So in advance, If a person has choly arosh, he can't even think. Somebody has a splitting headache. You tell him, go sit down and learn Torah. Because that's too late. Right? Ela the chosh kitzas v'roshay v'adayin lo yichol v'nofel l'mita k'demashma b'peret man b'madlikim. Damrin and hosam chosh v'roshay yeidoyme v'chulu. Olo l'mita v'nofel yeidoyme. Haynu yichol v'amosh. V'al derech zeh yeshlema odek siv kol amakla shesamti b'mitzrayim lo yisim alecho ki ani Hashem rofecha hochi pirusha. The pasuk starts out like this. V'hoyoyim shemati shmu v'koy li yushmatim li v'isi v'isim li skulu mikol amin. Right? Lasik b'toyra kol amakla ha'inu choy limama shehoyo b'mitzrayim lo yasim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha es ha'meichush shalei tovali de choy limama sh'ayde eisek ha'toyra So he says, Kol HaMachlo Lo Yosim Alecha means it'll never happen because you're going to be learning the Torah. Shmatim is Brisi, and Memela that Chayli will never expand. It will never materialize, even though you anticipate its coming. So this is just a remez, a melitza. That's not necessarily that the Maharsha felt this is the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk, because there it's mashma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to punish them with this severe choyli or whatever, but there's a big Ramban over there and so on and so forth about getting sick in general and trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, going to doctors, and is that a chesaron of bitochon. But in any case, the Maharsha says that that's what the Pasuk is meramez to, that in anticipation of the choyli, before you are lost in the pain of the choyli, a person has the opportunity to protect himself, and that does not go against the Gemara in Maseches Shavuos, which says also l'srapos v'divrei Torah. Now going back for a moment, the Kedushas Levi on the bottom says something very beautiful. Chosh b'roish yasi b'tayra shenema b'kiliv yascheim eim b'roishecho ara chosh b'chol gufay yasi b'tayra shenema b'chol b'sar humarpe. Now he says like this. There's a merit to Kekasha that everybody asks on this Gemara. The Gemara says, if he's chashin this, he should do this. If he's chashin that, he should do that. What is the this and that all over and over? Yasik b'toira. So the Gemara describes all kinds of different possibilities that could go wrong with a person in different parts of his body. And then the Gemara concludes, and if he's chash b'chol gufay, he's also yasik b'toira. So the question is, if it's a refuah for chol gufay, wherever it is, then avad mikal v'chaymer, it's going to be a refuah for the prat. So why does the Gemara have to go through each detail and then end up saying chosh b'chol gufay? The Gemara should simply have said chosh be'ezem machle sheyia b'chol gufay is yasik b'tayra. Memele, we would know the rest. So he asks this question. The nedaktik lo motzorech atano lapshe b'prati kol eivorim tchila v'chakach oma al kohani l'chol b'sarim arpa. And the pasuk says l'chol b'saro. It means for every possible inyan, and the Gemara should simply have summarized it with that pasuk. Chosh b'chol gufa yasik b'tayra. Why does it mention the pratim first? Ubekitzer havalei lichtoiv hachosh b'chol eiveveve yasik b'tayra shenem l'chol b'saro marpe. V'nira daklal ukach k'mo sheyesh samim gashmiim l'refuos l'rapos es haguf kein yesh samim ruchniim b'tayra hagadosh shel l'rapos. The Kedushas Levi of Levi Yitzchak Baditchev says, he says that if a person knew, and he was on the Madrega to know, then he would know which part of the Torah, exactly what to learn to fix that particular inyan. Even though it's a machla in his guf. The gam yesh b'simonim gashmiim, yeah, b'haynu sam achayim, she b'sam ze nisrapi kol minei choloim. Kein yesh inyan l'tayra, she oisik b'ze inyan oz nisrapi kol acholoim she yesh ba'olam. V'atzadikim yoydim ha'inyan she b'tayra, she b'ze nisrapi cholos ha'roish, u b'ze nisrapi shar eiver. V'yesh tzadikim she yoydim inyan b'tayra, she b'ze nisrapi kol minei choloim. He says that in certain medicines are specific and certain medicines are generic. Not generic that it's cheaper from the pharmacy. I mean, they cover many inyonim. So I think what he's driving at, if we would put it in some more modern parlance, so I would say the following. And borrowing a little bit from the Maharsha's idea to some extent. There are certain in Yonim that there's a refuah, it's a medicine. It's a medicine which takes care of a problem that already exists and tries to fix the problem. So for example, if a person has a problem with his heart, he may take that blood thinner that I was talking about, because then it's easier for the heart to pump. And it's less likely that there should be a blockage. But if a person has no problem with his heart, of course, it would be absurd to take it. But then there are vitamins, and there are certain things that strengthen you, that build up your resistance, for example. Or even if we use the example of a flu vaccine. So if a person has the flu, Right? So then he needs to take all kinds of trufas, and sometimes he's very sick, maybe even for a week. And chas v'shalom, it could deteriorate, and a person could have all kinds of side effects and after effects, especially if there's something already wrong with him to begin with. But if you take the vaccine in advance, so the vaccine is a protector. It's a protection. It's not that the vaccine is a refuah after the fact. The vaccine does not allow that the flu should have that impact. So once the flu arrives, if that person is attacked by that particular virus or by that particular microbe, he has the ability to withstand it already built into his immune system, built into his body. Torah is like that also. Torah has two different kinds of actions. So it could be that what the Gemara means at the end, if you combine the Kedushas Levi idea together with the Maharsha to some extent, it means like this. If a person has certain machlois, then he has the Yeshua of learning Torah as a refuah to the machlois. And that, says the Kedushas Levi, you have to know what to learn. You have to be a chacham gadol miyoy. That's why it's not a kasha. I sit and learn, and that necessarily takes care of my headache. Because who knows what I'm a chuyiv to learn for that? And that's a question of usulus rapis b'divrei Torah, which we'll have to discuss next time. But then there's the vitamin or the anticipating vaccine, which says that a person who learns Torah, it protects him in algamin, it protects him in general. And that, of course, is what the Mashoy is anticipating when he says chosh v'roshay. But he says it legabe everything. And that's how he answers the problem of usulus rapis. But the Kedushas Levi says merely that there are certain inyonim that help specifically and certain inyonim that help generally. And that's what he says, that the Torah is helpful for all things in a general way. So the kasha is, wait a minute, if Torah learning in general is good, so then what's the pshat? So he learns apparently that for that you also need a chacham to know what, you know, is like a universal pill. But what we're suggesting is a combination of the idea in the Kedushas Levi and the idea of the Maharsha, that maybe the end of the Gemara is not exactly the same as the beginning. That the bottom chosh b'chol gufay means that in anticipation he takes Torah to protect him. Masha'ein kein, once he has the specific inyan, then he needs the refuah for the specific inyan as well. But that's how it would resolve according to this. Let's take a look in the words of the Maharal Prague just to round out this sheet. The Yesh Shoyalim. The Yesh Shoyalim ki dovah zeloi nimtza shekama heim choylim v'loi moihu lohem limud ha-Torah. The Maharal Prague is very simply. We see a lot of people that sit and learn, and they learn very profoundly, and they learn very well, and nevertheless they're sick. So you see that the Torah doesn't help them. So he says, ki dovah zeloi kasha ki lo amarak chosh v'haynu, whose Torah is this? The same? The Maharsha. The Hainu Koidim Shachom. Avol nofal la mishkov tzarech kan zechuz godo l'shanais hateva. V'hu kmo neis v'ein odom zoyche l'neis gomor v'zeh poshet. So he's not trying to answer the question osulis rapis v'divrei Torah. He's answering the practical observation that you see people are learning Torah basma da'atzuma, and that tzadikim gedolim and afal pikein, it does not save them from the machla that they have. So he says that all of this is good as a preventative, as a vitamin pill. There was a very chashuv Rosh Yeshiva in Torah v'das, who was a big Lubavitcher chassid from three rebbes ago. The Marshab, from the Marshab, he was a chosid and a Talmud, Rav Moshe Duba Rifkin, Zechron Levrocha. So Rav Rifkin wrote a number of contrasim, which were then put together in a sefer, of Chidushei Torah in Gemara, in Sugis HaShas. And very devoted Talmidim, and they used to put out these little contrasim, and then one day they put the contrasim together and they made a sefer for him. So in the beginning of the sefer, he had a Hakdama, which is a Hakdama, what Chassidus is all about. And he writes in the heading that Chassidus is the vitaminim shel haneshama, the vitamins of the soul. That's what Chassidus is. So these vitamins that you take, chosh beroishai, chosh begufay, that's chashash, in anticipation of something, you can learn Torah and the Torah protects you. Now, of course, if a person doesn't get sick, what these mefarshim are saying is that he could have. But it's only because he was learning Torah that it protected him. The truth of the matter is a very interesting thing. In many ways, Torah is very debilitating. The Gemara says, Aleichem Ishim Ekra, Eilu Talmidei Chachamim, Sheyesh Lahem Koyach Kenoshim, Va'oisim Chayil Ke'anoshim. Because the word Ishim, today Ishim means personalities, or big shots. But the Gemara is Medayik, it's not Noshim and it's not Anoshim. So what is it? So it says it's a combination of both, because they have no strength. And Toshash Koichoi, Torah Mateshes Koichoi Shalodom. It's very interesting that some of Farshim explained that that Maisa with Rish Lakish, that he was no longer able to jump across the river, that was only at the beginning, at that initial shock. But later he came back to himself. But the whatever it is, if you learn Torah Mateshes Koichoi Shalodom, then how could you say that the Torah is a vitamin pill to protect you? Everybody knows that if you become weaker, you're more susceptible. Another thing. Talk a lot about exercise today. And from time to time you have very choshev talmid chachamim that, you know, one occasion they go to a gym. I don't know how long it lasts, but they go to a gym and this and that or whatever. But I don't know that Reb Moshe ever went to a gym. I mean, I don't recall that he ever went to a gym. Reb Moshe's hasmada was something unbelievable. Reb Moshe, his lips were constantly moving. He was chazering over Mishnayos, Baal Peh, over and over and over again. Could be he chazered it over several thousand times in his lifetime. Not a kasha. I remember sitting in a car with him and somebody was fadreying him a cup about whatever. And his lips were moving. And then he had to answer him. So he answered him. And the minute he's finished answering him, his lips continued to move. When he would walk from Tiferes Yerushalayim to his house, which was closer to the East River, and this was a nice walk, it was quite a number of blocks. So constantly walking with people, there was always somebody that was accompanying him, and they were talking to him, asking him shilas or whatever. And Reb Moshe was the ultimately polite person, no matter who it was, could be the biggest nudnik, and he would always answer them. But whether it was a gadol that was talking to him, serious things, or whether it was a nudnik fadreying him a cup. But the minute they stopped, and he didn't have to answer them anymore, right back to it. So I don't recall that he ever went to the gym. Maybe he did, I don't know anything. But it's highly unlikely. And you see people, I don't think Rav Shach went to a gym. I don't think Rav Yashin went to a gym. These people, Rav Yashin, Zolzayn, Gizunt, and Shtag, Vezaychot, Tamar, Yedigar, Yichus, Yomim. You're talking about people who are over 100 years old. So the Chmamish, so that's Mezitzte, but the Gemara, Yoyman Volayla, Yoyman Volayla. You sit in that awful posture, which is not good for your blood circulation, it's not good for your back, it's not good for anything, l'chayra. So what's the pshat? So the teretz is that you see beferish, that the Torah is mamish, a physical trufa to prevent the person from having all kinds of inyon. There's no question about it. I mean, these people violate all the laws, as it were. And Torah Mateshes Koicha Shalodim. But the Torah that's Mateshes Koicha Shalodim is Chosh V'chol Gufa Yasek V'Torah. The Maral continues over here, just to finish it up. The Maral continues, Me'at Tetucha L'Hovim Ha'Shalai Omer Chosh V'chol Gufa Yasek V'Torah Bilvat. He asks that question that we asked before. Since that's a summary that affects everything else, why doesn't the Gemara simply be Mekatzer and say Chosh V'chol Gufa Yasek V'Torah and finished? Why does the Gemara start out Chosh B'Roshoi, Chosh B'Groinoi, and so on? The Yiyah B'Chlal Zeh HaRosh V'HaGorin, Shezeh Ein Kashya, B'Pnei Shebo Loimar, Shelefi Ma'alas HaIvorim, Heim Koidmim El Kabolas HaSeder. It's very interesting. He says that this vitamin Koyach, this ability to protect the person, it goes serially. In other words, it protects the head first, because that's what you need the most, so to speak. And so on and so forth. So in other words, when the Gemara says Chosh B'Roshay, so the Gemara is saying that in the Chosh B'Chol Gufay, the refuah, first of all, means an anticipation to prevent the machla from happening. Because afterwards, it has to be a Neis Gadol. But in preventing it from happening, it's not a Neis Gadol. It's one of the things that the Ramban calls the Nisim Nistarim, because after all, what does learning Torah have to do scientifically? You'll have a hard time correlating it. I mean, people try to do things like that. They try to say that it's all psychological or my mind over matter and blah, blah, blah. Abba Lamai said that's not what the Gemara is saying at all. The Gemara is saying that there's a segula in learning Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects you. And therefore, the protection comes in the chashivus, or the necessity of protecting the different parts of the body. I want to tell you something very interesting that I discovered in myself, in a member of my family, unfortunately, but it's an amazing thing. We had an einikel that had Hatzolah Mamish saved her life, but the child got dehydrated, and when the dehydration happened, so you begin to see parts of the body shutting down very selectively. And the reason for that is because there's an extremely limited amount of koyach. The amount of energy, the capacity of the body is becoming less and less. And because of that, the parts that are not critically necessary for the viability to sustain themselves literally shut down. And you have this mice many, many times that the body has an instinct that's built in to the koyches hanefesh of a person, that the things that are not immediately necessary, if the body needs to protect itself, it will close them down, not to have to bother with them, not to have to provide them with nourishment, not to have to provide them with food, with blood, with whatever it takes, so that they can channel all that energy, that little bit that's left in reserve, to what's critically necessary. And as the refuah happens, you begin to see, Baruch Hashem, in this child's case, she had a total and absolute, completely recovery, Baruch Hashem. But it took weeks. There was one Seder night that, to believe in a person in America, should have a Seder all by himself. So I had a Seder in my mommy's hospital completely by myself. Sitting outside the door there from the ICU, from the children's ICU over there. The Bekitza, the Chazdei Hashem ki lo yisamdu ki lo chol rachamav. Aba lemaisa, if there is a segula, says the Maral, that the Torah has this koyach to prevent the machla, it addresses first those parts of the body that are more critically necessary. And by a yid vaystoyz, the first thing that's necessary is the cup. A yiddish a cup. So Chosh v'roisha yaseh b'Torah is telling me that when they, in anticipation, the first thing that gets healed is, and then the rest is kol gufay. If that's how he's learning. He's learning that it's giving you the Seder HaDifus or Seder HaChashivus. It's a remarkable maral. Any other?